these have kitchens, the duplexes?
These do have kitchens, yes, so there's a full kitchen here, and then over here, there's another full kitchen, I wanna say it's right.
So will those be sold to private owners then?
What we're planning on doing is selling them, but we're selling them as a fractional.
Okay.
So you buy like a one-eighth interest.
Okay, like.
And put it back in another.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it is in a fractional ownership, it's probably more likely it will be in a rentable.
It'll be rentable, period, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope every unit on the site is just.
So if it's fractional ownership and it's only used by the owners that own their fractional share, does that still count towards the resort tax calculation?
It has to be in a rentable, so it could be just owned, used by the owners, because there would be owners living there.
I don't think.
They only live there one-eighth of the year, so it really need to be in a rentable for us to be able to count it towards a resort tax.
I don't think you'd put a fractional ownership in, or, I guess you could.
You do put it in.
Yeah, there's.
Okay.
We have those in town already with Worldmark, for instance.
Yeah, but those are like, those are literal timeshares, this is a little different concept.
Okay, this is a fractional ownership.
Yeah, okay.
Duplex renderings. And then, this is the layout for the, there's two types of floor plans for the duplexes, this is the second type.
So are there any properties there that somebody could live in full-time and not have it in the rental pool? I mean, I guess they could, are there any that would be owned by a private individual?
Yeah, there'd be all.
100%.
Considering some of the cottages, but again, they're not big enough, they don't have kitchens.
Okay.
Other than the full-time.
Okay.
Think more of the old condo hotel that everybody used to do, but instead of a hotel, it's condo cottages, it's all part of the whole.
Yeah.
Part of the resort.
And there's one restaurant in the resort, is that correct?
One restaurant and a little bit of a grill on top of the roof.
Okay.
And then there's the farm kitchen, is that separate?
That is separate, yeah.
And so there's really kind of three establishments that would be there.
The farm kitchen we use more for programming and stuff like that, it would be a full-time option.
But this is all open to the public? Okay.
With discounts for Midway citizens, like Disney does?
For you especially, Jeff.
We can offer some, here's your POS, we can ask for that.
Would I have to recuse myself if that's something I wanted to see?
All right, so now you have a refresher on the architecture, something to consider for your motion. Are there any questions for staff on the presentation?
So with this project and other projects, we're asking developers to bring water rights into the city. Do our sources have sufficient capacity to keep taking on additional water rights?
Yes, I can answer that, but Wes would be able to answer it more detail.
Yeah, where this is water that isn't in the Midway Irrigation Company, this would be foreign water brought into the valley. This is water that would come out of the Alpenhof Weber well. That well is rated at 500 gallons per minute. We are currently today using about 130 gallons per minute. So yes, it has the capacity. Like anything, I always tell people, if you want to predict the future, look at the past. Those wells, the wells we have been reliable for 12 years. The springs have been reliable for 80 years. Is there something that could happen, a major earthquake? Yeah, we can't predict that, but.
I mean, earthquake, TDS, they're not recharging.
Right, but based on the past, yes, we have adequate water for the indoor use.
Yeah, that's specific for indoor. They've worked out an agreement with Midway Irrigation Company to supply water for the outdoor using their water rights. So that agreement's in place right now.
What would, how many, it was 500 gallons per minute is the rating on the well?
Yes.
So how many gallons per minute does 100 acre feet require? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'm telling you, just a second.
Andy should know that, like.
Yeah, but
right
I gotta
now.
Get my calculator. So basically, that's 2 acre feet a day out of that well, just under 2 acre feet.
A day?
Yeah, 500 gallons a minute times 1440 is 720,000. An acre foot is 325,851 gallons.
Or 61 gallons per minute. 100 acre feet is about 61 gallons per minute.
So greater than 10% of the well's capacity.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, how much of that is outside irrigation on this chart?
Just the top one.
And just right here. So this part wouldn't come out of the well. That's 12.9 acre feet. But the rest of this would be for the culinary use.
That's roughly 100 acre.
Yeah, and that's what I looked at. 100 acre feet is approximately 61 gallons per minute.
So every time a development comes before the city and gets approved and the water rights get approved, is that additional water that's being taken out of the well, or is that already water that's already being used
only
from one of the others?
The ground, Mountain Spa, that ground is not being irrigated by Midway Irrigation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, any ground that we develop that currently isn't being irrigated by Midway Irrigation, that will come out of the well. Whitaker Farm, that was irrigated by Midway Irrigation. Therefore, that indoor water does not come out of the well.
Where does that come from? One of the springs?
River Mahogany Springs.
Okay.
Does
so
that make sense?
We're asking people to bring in a right that allows us, that gives us the right to draw from the source.
Right.
So they're bringing in paper, we're converting it to wet.
Yeah.
The question is, do we have enough wet to support what's being brought in?
Yeah. Okay. A little bit of a detour there, but interesting. I have a question. Are the rural preservation lots, are they sold, recorded, done, or is that all part of this package until this all gets done, those aren't being recorded?
Yeah, they're recorded and they're sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, at this point, separate from this project.
Yeah, I think so. Chuck sold those to an individual who sold those to different buyers, and I'm sure three of those are sold. I'm fairly certain the fourth did too.
Yeah, I think they're all sold. But yeah, we're not part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All those restrictions are in place anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So back on your question, the sensitive lands boundaries you had. There's a little confusion on that kind of stuff. Should that be part of this? Is recommending an adjustment to that boundary,
yeah,
or determining which one's the one to be used?
Yeah, I think so. I do wish we had the current layout on this, but my understanding is a couple of those buildings do encroach on this red area. But again, that appeared not to be so much sensitive lands area, less than what's outside the red area up here.
Right, that dotted line up on the top, we put that in ourselves with the conservation people.
Yeah, so
there's
a dotted line right here that is all in a conservation easement. That area definitely can't be as protected 100% in that spot.
Which part?
So you see this dotted line that runs through here and around and then up.
Okay.
There is a separate, I think it's 8.17 acres that's in a conservation easement right now that wasn't part of money that we used from the open space bond funds that we have. That was just a separate conservation easement that's been recorded on site.
So they can't build on that anyways,
they
as it is, right?
Not at all.
So really the only question is just the whether we go with the fat red boundary, if that's like the adjusted one or the including the purple or what?
Yep.
I was going to make some comments about this one.
Okay. Oh, great.
Okay.
We'll wait for that then.
Would it be okay if I made those comments now?
Sure.
Well, I was just asking information about that, so I'm...
So the colored in areas are based off of the city's sensitive land maps. And like Michael said, I'm not really sure how these were developed. I think our best guess is probably just the GIS guy at Mountain Lands when they put this together. It doesn't really seem to follow topography. I mean, if this boot is part of this circle, you know, you wonder if it was supposed to be the hill side here. There doesn't really seem to be a lot of science behind this. Back with the original Mountain Spot application in 2008, a geotechnical firm was hired to come look at the property. Then two BYU professors with ground penetrating radar came and they studied the property and looked for caverns and a bunch of other just geologic features. And then along with that, staff, which at the time was Bob Mathis and Jerry Jones, along with the Planning Commission and Wes. Planning Commission spent a lot of time looking at this property and the different studies, and that's where this purple boundary came from, along with protecting these different plots. And so when we prepared this application, we felt like there was a lot of science, a lot of study, a lot of site visits behind the purple boundary. Steve, not to disparage the city council, but then the city, after the Planning Commission took 9 months, the city council went out and just made one visit. My opinion, kind of kicked some rocks around, and we came up with the red boundary. And a lot of the red boundary was, hey, we see some slopes over there, just, you know, incorporate that in. So when we started over with this application, felt like that the Planning Commission boundary from 08 was a much better approach just because there was science behind it. Now it sounds like right back to the same debate of what's the boundary. So that's the history behind it.
Is there that's outside of that conservation easement. It's just that one section of red.
Yeah, and because Chuck has put on the conservation easement anyway, all we're really talking about is this area right here.
Is that a concern to you guys?
Well, let me just add this though. In addition to this, we've identified some 25% slope and some 25% slope right there. So those areas would already be protected now. The request was made to me to provide a sensitive land map. I provided it at the same time the architect was updating his plan. They both kind of hit Michael at the same time. Would you go back to the latest site plan?
We've adjusted it.
So this area, I believe, has been adjusted so that little bit of slope is no longer there, and you can see the buildings pulled back, and you can kind of see some of the slope here. I'm not quite sure what that is, though.
So where would that red line that jogged up run?
Kind of right here.
Okay.
This is the conservation easement. So now, Michael, let's go back to the... And I can work with the architect now to update this map, but yeah, the area in question is right here, and if this building has been adjusted to avoid the 25% slope, then I think the only question would be just right there, and that's not in the red area anyway.
Little spots.
This has been adjusted. This is in a front yard area, even on the new plan, but this building has been adjusted.
And then the underground cavern area,
uh-huh.
That was identified since then? Not part of that original study?
No, it was part of that.
Okay.
This boundary has existed since 08. We're not doing anything there.
Yeah, you don't want it to collapse.
There's nothing. Yeah. But there's nothing now that says you can't, right?
So it should formally.